This is the Shanice Lewis Show, the number one podcast for plus-size women. With your host, the queen of curvy conversation, Shanice Lewis.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Monday, May 21st, 2018. The Shanice Lewis Show is an official sponsor of Full Figure Fashion Week Media Day at the 10th anniversary of Full Figure Fashion Week taking place in New York City on June 18th through the 23rd. You can read more about it on the blog at ShaniceLewisShow.com. And for more information about Full Figure Fashion Week, visit FFFweek.com. And make sure you're following this show's social media pages on Facebook at The Shanice Lewis Show and on Instagram and Twitter at Shanice Show. And make sure you subscribe to the show's iTunes, Google Play Music pages, or your favorite podcasting app. Today we have a very special guest. Jess Baker is a positive and progressive force to be reckoned with in the realm of self-love, advocacy, and mental health. Her blog, The Militant Baker, garners nearly 500,000 views every month and has been covered by major media platforms, including the BBC, CNN, Today Show, ABC, Huffington Post, Yahoo, People, Cosmo, Time Magazine, Upworthy, BuzzFeed, and New York Magazine. Jess is currently on tour with her latest book, Landwell, which is a truthful and powerful account of the unforgiving ways our culture treats fatness and how to live happily and freely anyway. We are super excited to have Jess on the show. Hi, Jess.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. I'm super excited to talk to you. First, I want to know about a little bit about your background. Tell us what you were doing before you even started blogging. I read that you worked in mental health.
I did. When I first started blogging, I was a full-time baker. And so I was kind of, I was actually blogging about like vintage kitchenware and recipes for a while. And then I started working on mental health and baking. Actually, I had this really great job where I got to do both at the same time. And it was kind of around that time that I had this realization from reading other blogs. I kind of found body positivity and body image, the body image world. And so I shifted from baking to writing about my journey with my body online. And I've been writing on The Militant Baker ever since. It's been 6 years now.
Do you think your background in mental health helps you with the work that you do today? Because having self-love and self-confidence is kind of a mental thing, right?
1,000%. And when it comes to dieting and recovering from that warped view of life in your body, as well as eating disorders and just, you know, really they're all connected. Our mind and our body is connected. So it's important to have a conversation about both, not just one. So mental health is a huge part of it, and I'm really grateful.
Now, your blog is called The Militant Baker. Now, how did you come about this name? Is it because you were actually baking or because of your last name? Or is that really your last name? Is that a stage name?
No, it's because I was a baker, and I had gone to this rally for reproductive rights in another city, and so I took a couple days off of work, and the chef that I was working with didn't know why I wasn't there the next day, and he was really concerned. And so when I came back, he was like, "Oh my God, I'm so glad you're back. I thought you got in trouble at the rally, and they hauled off our militant baker." And so he was just kind of like making a joke about how rowdy I am and me being their baker. And I was like, "The militant baker, that's so good." His name's Bruce. And I was like, "That's so good, Bruce. Thank you." And you know, of course, it didn't exist anywhere else. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to claim this. And it turned out to be the right choice.
And then in 2012, when you started blogging, were your intentions to become this big influencer, or was it just an outlet for you originally?
It was just an outlet. And I formed this really great community with all these small blogs, and I'm still in touch with a lot of them today. I had no idea that it would turn out to be something this big, but when I had those opportunities, I kind of ran with them, and I'm really glad I did. I've learned a lot. I've learned so much, and I continue to learn, so it's helping me personally, and I think it helps other people, and it was a happy accident, to be honest.
And then in 2013, you created a photo shoot for your blog, remaking an Abercrombie and Finch ad. I'm messing up the name. You know what I mean. And it blew up.
I know what you mean.
So tell me, how did that blow up and just make your world go upside down?
That was kind of the pivotal turning point where I didn't really expect it to be viral. I didn't expect for the whole world to pick it up and put it in all of their media. But they did, and it was a counter campaign to old comments that the CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch had said back in 2006, where he said that they don't make extra large clothing for women because they only want cool kids to wear it. And really, those comments didn't really affect me that much. I've, you know, heard those kinds of things my whole life, but a lot of my readers were really upset and sending me coverage, and I was like, okay, let's address this with a photo shoot. That would be really fun. And then it turned into this widespread, you know, it made people really angry and it made them really happy. And so it really went everywhere. And I realized then that I had an opportunity to do this full time if I put in the work. And I decided that's where I wanted to go. So it grew. I worked in mental health and did a conference and worked online all at the same time until I wrote my first book. And I was already working like 80-hour weeks. And so I was like, oh, man, something has to go if I'm going to write this book. So I left mental health professionally and worked for myself back then. And I've been working for myself ever since.
Now, when you initially went viral, was it very overwhelming for you? Because you were, like you're saying, working a regular 9-to-5, and then all of a sudden you're on the Today Show and getting all of this comments on the internet. Was it overwhelming at first?
Yeah, I think it was both really positive and exciting and also really hard because I wasn't used to being that visible. And, you know, as many people as it touched in a positive way, it also made a lot of people really angry. And so I became, I think, you know, because when your visibility goes up, the trolling goes up. And so I kind of had to learn.
Right.
It's been a process. I've been learning how to balance that ever since. And I don't have it perfected. It still is something that's really hard for me, but it has gotten a little bit easier since that initial, you know, explosion of coverage.
Right. And you were able to use that viral moment and build a brand and a career. Now, how did you do that? Was there a blueprint that you followed or somebody else that did this before you? Did you have a mentor? How did you know how to change this around into a career?
That's such a good question. I didn't have anyone, and I had never seen anyone do anything like this before. And this was quite a while ago before there were a bazillion body positive influencers. I think I was lucky because I had been writing about body image for a while before. So I had, you know, I had been writing about it. So I had some, you know, back, blogs for people to read. It wasn't, the first time I'd ever talked about it. So I think that it just helped me further establish the blog, and I just kept taking opportunities and saying yes and trying things and failing and succeeding and figuring it out. I'm still figuring it out. There's definitely no blueprint for this, but I think now I have a pretty circle of friends and activists and bloggers and writers that, you know, you can ask them now for advice and how did you do this and what worked and what didn't work. I'm so grateful for that now because that's only happened for me within like the last couple years. So the first four were spent very I was just bumping around, really. Mm-hmm. It was kind of messy, figured it out as you went along. Yeah, a lot of mistakes, live and learn.
Right. So was Instagram a big, big part of growing your audience?
No, that's only been a recent thing. When I wrote my first book, Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls, there was a resource section in the back of the book, and it had Facebooks to follow and Tumblrs to follow and blogs and books and no Instagram, because at that point, Instagram wasn't popular like it is now. And now, really, mm-hmm. that's where I spend most of my time. That's where, you know, people are settling. And so I wrote a blog post last year with 135, you know, Instagram accounts to follow. But it's kind of a new thing for me. So I'm slowly building it and really enjoying it. Stories are fun. I think it's a fun community, and I really enjoy just this whole setup of Instagram, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel there's a difference in the body positive community and the plus size community? Because when I interview a lot of people with the plus size community that identify themselves with that, it's mostly fashion and modeling. But I think the body positive community kind of ventures off into more. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think totally. If I were to go to like the Curvy Fashionista conference, the mm-hmm. people I would meet there would be a totally different group than if I were to go to, like, No Lose isn't really having them. But if I were to go to more of a body image conference, and mm-hmm. I think they overlap. You know, there's people who are doing both. I think there's a lot of different kinds of people within the body image section. Like, you have some just really – bright, cheerful influencers, you have some really hardcore activists, you have, you know, different messages all over. So there's definitely bit, like, diversity within both. And I think there is overlap. I enjoy both. I enjoy participating in both, watching both, listening, meeting people from both areas. Yeah.
So
You were one person that I met because of the fashion world, and so that was really fun.
Right. So do you consider yourself a part of all of the communities, or is it one that you identify with more?
I don't know if I can really categorize myself really. I think a lot of people see me as an activist, which is a word that I don't use anymore, because I feel like the word activist has become, like, people really dictate what that is and what it means and what you should be doing. And I believe that people who do healing work or, world-changing work deserve to be paid. And sometimes some people feel like in activism you can't be paid. I believe in everybody's, all the voices, and some people disagree with that. So I kind of don't use activist. I don't use body positivity. I don't just do fashion. So I'm kind of nowhere. I'm kind of just my own thing. I'm just me. And I have my fingers in a lot of different pots, but I don't think I really fit 100% anywhere. And I actually am okay with that. That means that I'm doing what feels really good to me instead of trying to fit into a group. And that's definitely where I want to be. You know, I also have written books, but I also still enjoy blogging. So I don't really fit into 100% blogging. I don't really fit in just the writer, author atmosphere. I don't know where I fit, to be honest, but that's okay.
Yeah, you're creating your own lane, which is awesome.
Thank you. I am just trying to do the best I can. And I definitely try and learn more every day. I try and take care of myself and help as many people as I can. And whatever that is, turns into, looks like, is kind of just what it is.
So let's talk about your new book out called Land Well. Now tell us how you came up with the title for this book.
I had a few options for my publishing company. They really liked that one. And I love it too. I love it with the cover, which is me on in a polka dot swimsuit on the beach. And it's an insult that people have used since I was, you know, a preteen probably. You know what? Fifth grade, I was called a hippo. So fifth grade is when the name calling started. But I've been called animal names my whole life. And so it's kind of a reclamation and like a middle finger to people calling you ridiculous names. And it's a reclamation of, for me, I reclaimed the word fat as a neutral descriptor and kind of took the bite and the venom out of that years ago, and reclaiming land whale and talking about how awesome whales actually are, as well as all of the other animal names that I've been called, was kind of another cheeky step. And I love it. I think it's really fun. I think it makes people want to pick it up and just flip through it. And yeah, I'm glad we landed on that one.
So how does this book differ from your first book, which was Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls?
They're completely different, to be honest. Things No One Will Tell Fat Girls was a handbook. It was meant to be everything that I had learned over the years, the four-ish years that I'd been, you know, reading and researching and writing about body image. And it was things I wish that I had known earlier in my life. And at the time, there was no book that had it all in one place. It was kind of scattered in academia and activism and blog posts. And I wanted it all to be in one place. And it's very positive and clear and peppy and kind of like a pep talk. And I think it's valuable. I'm actually really glad it exists still. Land Whale is completely different, where it's kind of me saying, the more I learn, the less I know. And I don't have all the answers. Life is messy. Here's my experiences. Take from them what you will. And hopefully people feel some solidarity. I talk about a lot of stuff that people don't want to, like growing up in a fat body, dating while fat, having sex while fat, PCOS, which is a syndrome that causes like hair growth that's connected to PCOS is polycystic ovary syndrome, and it's linked to a lot of things like infertility, gaining weight, and growing like facial hair. And so that's something that's like really hard for people to talk about. So I wrote a whole chapter on that and just really opened up in a way that was scary for me. And I know that when you share the scary things, those tend to help people the most. So that was my hope with writing Land Whale, is that it would open up a conversation about the really hard things, so people would feel less alone and then hopefully also start talking about it.
Now, how did you connect with Dia and Co. to be the sponsor for your book tour?
Oh, I'm so grateful to them. I've worked with them for a couple years. I did some live Facebooks with them, and I pitched them this tour, and they said yes. I was thrilled. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. They covered my travel costs. They're sending me super cute clothes to wear. Like, I just look like a babe every day. And I'm so grateful. So really it was a working relationship. I happened to just send them over a pitch that was very simple, and they said yes. I'm so grateful, because meeting people is what I love. I love to be with people in the same room. It's so different than being online with communities, hearing their stories, answering questions. We're doing panels at each stop, so there's other fat babes that are, you know, we're all kind of having this discussion around fat bodies, and it's just been great so far.
And I saw on your website that to finance a book tour was one of your 2018 goals.
That's right. That's right. And honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen, because I had pitched it to a few other companies and they were like, oh, we're not doing that right now. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to be open to the possibility of this not happening. And then Dia and Co. came in and I was so excited. So, yes, check that one off my goal list.
Yeah, and I congrats to that. Now, you just mentioned when you go to different cities, you have special guests and panels. So how did you go about picking the women who were spotlighted in each city?
That's a great question. It was, I wanted them all to be, everyone I talked with to be a fat babe, to identify as a fat babe. Because even though this memoir is written, it's a, you know, a white plus size middle-class woman writing a memoir, there's a lot of concepts that kind of travel over, you know, identities and intersections. And so I wanted there to be diversity within the panels, and I wanted everyone who was there to identify as a fat babe. And I think there's a mix of, so I'm going to Los Angeles next, and there's some great people going to be there. Saucy West, I think you know. She's a model who also does activism. Laura Luna has a lot of academic background, and who else is going to be there? Bevan Brand Landingham, who does Fat Kid Dance Party. She's going to be our moderator, and I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I noticed that it looks like you included a woman of color on every stop in every city. Now, was that on purpose?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that it would be a huge mistake to not have all voices present. Also, people, everyone kind of has a different background. Like, some people are academics, some people are community social workers, some people are online activists, some people are models. So we have all kinds. In Seattle, we had someone who writes for The Stranger and is a very radical fat activist, and then we had another person who writes a lot of zines and did the she did the Little Book of Fat Babes, and very different personalities. And it's fascinating when you go, because you have no idea what to expect. Panels could go anyway. and they've all been different, very different, and that's really what I wanted. So it's working so far. We'll see. There's three left. We have Los Angeles, we have Cleveland, and we have New York City, and we'll see how all of those go. But so far, it's been great. And I think having a diversity of body sizes, of race, of ability, of background, I think that's all really important when you're having these discussions, because, you know, we can, I wrote the book, and so that my information is kind of out there. So I wanted to have a little bit more added to the conversation, and I don't have all the answers. So I really wanted to hear everyone's suggestions as well.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome that you did that with your platform, spotlighting other women in different cities. Your platform was awesome. And a lack of diversity is an ongoing conversation in the plus community, not only, you know, at events, but in advertising, you know, brands that choose influencers to work with. Diversity is something that really needs to be worked on in our industry.
1,000%. And I said that twice already, but I just agree with everything you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, there's people out there doing the work that are much smarter, more advanced, have more to say than I do. I have the platform I do because I worked hard, but also because I have an extraordinary amount of privilege. And the general public, or at least sections of it, are willing to listen to me. And so I can use that platform to amplify voices that are doing better work than I am. And so really, it's an honor to have all these people with me and join me, because they offer so much that I was just in Seattle, or it was Portland. I was just in Portland, and somebody in the audience asked me this question that, honestly, I've never been stumped by an audience on the audience question before, but I was completely baffled by it. I didn't know how to answer. And I was so grateful for Samantha, who had joined me on the, you know, it was her and I having a conversation. And Samantha Peterson's a poet, And she just jumped right in with this beautiful answer that I would have never been able to come up with. And I was so grateful she was there and it wasn't just me. I would have ruined everything.
Well, awesome. So your next stop is at the Plus Bus in Los Angeles with my friends Marcy and Jen out there. So
yeah.
are your tour stops are not in just bookstores. You're going to all different types of places for these events?
They've mostly been bookstores. Because we were planning so late, we really put this together last month. Bookstores were just booked out to August. And so a lot of the places were just not available. And LA was one place where we were kind of struggling to find a place to host it. And I really wanted to go to LA because there's so much happening there and so many amazing people. And Marcy had reached out to me about doing an event. And I was like, oh my God, this would be the perfect place. So I'm thrilled to be doing it at the Plus Bus. I think the intersection of fashion and clothing and Tia & Co. and Land Whale is just going to be brilliant.
Yes, I wish I could fly out and be there. I'll be there in spirit. So are you looking for people to host more of your tour stops, any more dates in the works, or after this is the tour is over?
I think it's these three stops and then I'm good. It's a lot of traveling and 3 hours sleeping nights. You know, it's exhausting. It's worth it, but it's exhausting. So we kind of booked them all in May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bail campaigning, but probably not traveling as much.
Right. Well, you wanted to do everything in 1 month on purpose instead of spreading it out across the summertime?
Looking back, a little more.
Wait,
it seemed
breaking
like a good
up.
Idea at the time. Oh, sorry. Looking back, I think I should have spread it out a little more, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Well, you live and you learn. You say you're learning as you go.
That's right. Yep. Next time, definitely a couple months spread out. Yeah.
So what is your ultimate goal as someone who is trying to change culture's perception of plus-size women?
Well, that's a huge question. I think I've really decided to dedicate my time to empowering fat people. My audience tends to be plus-size women
mm-hmm.
that are about 30-ish, you know, 20, 30, 40. And that happens to be my readership. But I really want to empower people to fight back against fat bias and fat phobia. And so I don't spend a lot of time trying to educate people who don't want to know about it, who are really anti, you know, fat acceptance. Those are not the people I want to talk to. I'm not really here to try and convince people who are committed to hating fat people. So instead, I spend my time offering tools and resources and stories and solidarity to people who are also going through what I'm going through, and building them up so they can kind of fight on their own as well. And I feel like that's a really good use of my energy. So I don't see fat phobia disappearing anytime soon. It's something that's been ingrained in our culture for a long time. But
mm-hmm.
I can help people on their day-to-day, and hopefully that helps them. And, I get things out of it as well. So little things. It's really in the little details of helping others and changing individual lives that hopefully that ripples out and turns into something bigger. But I'm focused on the people who want to hear it.
So do you have anything else happening we can be on the lookout for, or anything I didn't get to mention that you want to promote?
You're so kind. not the moment. Land whales kind of taken up my life. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking to expand the Millicent Baker in the fall and kind of direct it towards some things I love, like traveling and more body liberation. But that's in the fall. I think I'm going to spend the whole summer just working on Land Whale. It's a good summer read. I want to see more pictures of babes in bathing suits. And so that's kind of where my head is right now. And, you know, once it's kind of over, it's over. So I'm going to try and enjoy it while it's happening.
Right. Well, tell us your official website, how we can keep in touch with you, and your social media pages as well.
Sure. So my blog is themilitantbaker.com. And at the very top of my blog, there's all of my social media icons, so you can follow me there. But I'm most active on Facebook and Instagram. I'm The Militant Baker on both. And if you wanted more articles and kind of good reading, I would suggest Facebook. If you want visual prompts and me just sharing stories from my life, like we bought a Furby the other day for my dog and tested it out as a dog toy, that's kind of what you get on Instagram. So that's where you can find me most of the time.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're very busy with the tour and very tired, so thank you for taking the time out to talk to me. And any way I can ever collaborate with you or support what you're doing, just let me know.
Oh, the same. And it's an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening. Go get some rest.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. And thank you to my fabulous guest this evening, Jess Baker. Make sure you check out her book, Land Whale. And if you're in Los Angeles, make sure you check her out at the Plus Bus. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.
You've been listening to The Shanice Lewis Show. For more info about the show, visit ShaniceLewisShow.com.